Pretty good crowd back tonight, in spite of the fact you've been warned twice today that I was speaking tonight. So I appreciate it. I really do consider it a privilege and an honor to be able to speak to God's people. And at this time, I would ask that you bow with me in prayer. Dear Father, we come now and we know that we are truly a blessed people and a blessed nation. And Father, now as we study thy word, I pray, Father, that you would be with me at this time and that you might give me a ready recollection of those things which I've studied and that there might be much good come of it and that we might be able to encourage, Father, that we could have a stronger life and to see the things that you would have us be. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, well, Mitch said, you know, you asked if I had come up with a lesson yet. And those of you who get up here and talk, if you're like me, and I know you are, when you study, you always learn more than the people that you're teaching, always. And your mind starts going off on all these different paths as you study, and you can't decide, oh, I've got to change, and I've got to go here, or I've got to go there. So it's always hard to get everything all together and get all the thoughts in you want to. But I think I've done that tonight and finally settled on something. And I did have a thought this afternoon, which I didn't even mention to Melva, which I thought was kind of cool, actually, is that many years ago, like back in 1972, when I had graduated from high school, in the annual, one of the things that it had, you know, it's got this who's who type stuff in the annual, and I was in Boys State and a bunch of other activities when I was in school, always pretty active. And one of the things that was there was had a picture of myself with some other students, and one of the things I said I wanted to do one day was preach, you know, and I'm getting an opportunity. But at the same time, I thought, I preach every day. Sometimes it's probably not what I want it to be, but we all preach every day by the life that we live. You don't have to stand up here in front of an audience to preach. Everybody out there tonight preaches every day, whether you know it or not, you're preaching. But I've titled my lesson tonight, Life Goes On. And it actually covers a lot of the things that Mitch has been going over here the past month as we've been studying in Peter. It is very relevant to some of the things. There was a movie that came out back in 2000-ish, early 2000s, and it was called Secondhand Lines. And I don't know how many of you have seen this movie, but it's a great movie. It stars Michael Caine and Robert Duvall, who are two of my favorite actors. And the summary of the story is that these two brothers grow up, and as they're growing up, they join the French Foreign Legion, and they go overseas, and they have all kinds of adventures where they're, you know, the heroes many times and always getting each other out of trouble, and they have this kind of storybook life where they win and lose many treasures, and one of them gets married and loses his wife, and they come back to the United States, and the story picks up that they're living on a farm and they're just old poor farmers, and they have a nephew that comes to live with them. In adult life, he's played by Josh Lucas as his nephew. But one of the brothers, Michael Caine, tells his nephew all of the many adventures they've gone through in life. And, you know, it's kind of like, I really don't believe what you're telling me here, that you're making up all of this stuff. Well, these guys lived many adventures, and they were true in the story. And as time goes on, and they're in their 90s, and they're always into trouble, constantly into trouble. And they actually have a lot of money and they've got it stuffed in the barn, in the basement in their barn. And they've got these, you know, tons of gold and other money down there. As life goes on, and Josh Lucas goes off, and he becomes a cartoon writer and illustrationist, and writes like children's books. He gets a call one day from the county sheriff, and he says, "Hey, I've really got some bad news for you. You need to come back home really quick." So, you know, he goes back home and he drives up in the yard, and the sheriff comes out to meet him, and he says, "You know, I don't know how to tell you this." And he turns him around and has him look at the barn. And there's a barn there. And in this barn, there's an airplane upside down, one of these old biplanes, bi-wing planes, that the two brothers were flying. And the sheriff said, "You know, I guess they were trying to fly through the open doors of the barn." And his comment to Josh Lucas was, "At least they went out with their boots on." And you really should watch this movie if you've never seen it. It's a very good movie. There's nothing really bad in it. Maybe, I don't even think there's really any cuss words in it, which is unusual. Maybe there's one or two. I don't recall. But, you know, at least they went out with their boots on. You know, he implied they lived life. So they weren't laying around, you know, sitting around. They weren't in bed watching and waiting for the end of life. They lived life. And I would propose that ideally every one of us would like to think about going out of life with our boots on. We really want to live life, and we want to go out with our boots on. And that's what I want to focus on today, is going out with our boots on. You know, generally when we do think about going out with our boots on, you know, we vision not to be sick, not to be laying in bed, not to be hampered by other limitations that we might have in this world. But what I want to do today is I want to assure you, no matter what your conditions are in this life, whether you've got physical limitations or whether you have other limitations, whether you don't have a lot of money or whatever the case may be in this life, you can go out of life today with your boots on. Absolutely, you can do it. And the boots that I'm talking about of having on are what I'm going to call for our discussion today, our spiritual boots. And these are composed of what our Savior and His promise for eternal life. That's the boots that we can have on when we go out of this life. Doesn't matter what your physical condition is. If you've got your spiritual boots on, you can jingle jangle all the way out of this life. And that's what I want to talk about today, is what you can do in spite of the conditions that might be surrounding you. Now, at the same time, there is one thing that I want to make perfectly clear. There's a caveat to this. God never said it was going to be easy. And we've been talking about that the past few weeks. Mitch has talked about it some. He never promised life was fair. He didn't say that. But He did promise that there was an eternal reward if we followed Him and we accept Him and we put those spiritual boots on. Some of the things that we've looked at the past few weeks, I'm going to hit a couple of them right now. Some of the warnings of the trials and tribulations that we see in the Scriptures, I want to start with some from Paul in his letter to the Romans. In Romans 5, verses 3 to 5, verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." Paul said to the Romans, you know, that believers can rejoice and glory as their patience or perseverance do what? It makes them stronger. Makes you stronger. In 2 Corinthians, verses 4, 16 through 18, and chapter 5 and verse 1. "For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, where the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now Paul's, you know, he's being encouraging to the Corinthians. He's saying, hey, you're going to have trials. You are going to have, it's not easy, but they're what? They're temporary. And by the way, they're going to make you stronger. And by the way, the outward man may perish, but the internal man is eternal. In 2 Timothy 4 and 2 and 8, looking at specifically at verses 6 through 8, it says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. He's telling Timothy, stay the course. It's not easy, but stay the course. But he acknowledged that it's not easy. Peter, 1 Peter 6 and through 9, verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Again, it's a difficult, you know, he's being telling us about the difficulties of life, but he says we need to rejoice because these are temporary. These things are temporary on this earth. And then James has many good examples, but looking at James, the first chapter, looking at verses 2 through 12, specifically verses 2 and 3 and in verse 12. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Here we find again, James reminds us that troubles and difficulties will follow us, but what will they do? And Mitch talked about this 2 weeks ago, I think it was, about gold, you know, how it's purified with the heat and the impurities come out. And James is reminding us here that these will purify our faith, produce patience and endurance. They're going to make us tough. We're going to become conditioned and learn to do the things that we need to do. You know, if you look in the Bible, there's countless examples of people who lived life in spite of adversity, and they went out with their boots on. You know, just some of them I think about, like Job. You know, Job faced many, many trials and tribulations and had everything in life taken from him almost up to his life, you know, and Job never gave up. He hung on. Noah, you know, people made fun of Noah. He's out there, he's building the ark. You're kind of a little bit crazy in the head out here, you know, building this big ark. What's going on? And of course, the flood. Joseph, sold into captivity. And what'd he do with that? He made, you know, it turned around. It was a blessing. We talked about this morning the temptations, you know, that Joseph faced there with the Pharaoh's wife. But in spite of those things, you know, he went forward. He went out with his boots on. David, you know, one of the favorites of mine in the Bible. Constantly, he was a man after God's own heart, but he had problems. He certainly had problems at times, and we all do. But he constantly was seeking God in spite of the fact that he had problems from time to time. But, you know, his enemies were always trying to kill him. You know, he constantly couldn't lay down his head and rest. and we'll read some scriptures about that in a minute. Stephen, Will talked about this morning. You know, he was sitting there and stoned to death, but full of the Holy Spirit, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He went out with his boots on. Paul, many, many different things in life that he faced. And then the king of all, who came to this earth and lived as a man, Jesus. He had earthly feelings, had earthly, lived as a man on this earth, and he certainly felt all kinds of accusations against him. He was constantly prosecuted or persecuted. And Jesus went out of this life with his life with his boots on. Certainly he arose, and we know where he's at today. And I thought, you know, as I was thinking about this, I thought about some examples that we have of people in this life. You know, and I'll just say right here from this, from our church here, we've had examples in the past year since I've been here of people. I think recently of Harold Pate. You know, here's somebody that for years he had some problems. If you didn't know Harold, you would have never known, because I never heard him really complain much. He might whine a little bit every once in a while when we were talking, but he never really complained. You never knew what was going on. Bernie Lindsay was another one. You know, you didn't know what was necessarily going on. And then Vernon Gilly. And I think of those guys. And it makes me feel good, makes me feel sad because I miss them. But I'm going to tell you what, those guys went out of this life with their boots on. Absolutely. They're in heaven today, they're rejoicing, and they're looking down at us, and I'm happy about that. They went out with their boots on in spite of the adversities that they faced in this life. And I look here today in the audience today, and we have many of us that have adversities, whether they may be physical things. You know, I look at Dina sitting here. A few years ago, Dina was really struggling, and she still has adversities in her physical health. But this past year, she's come back and she's here. That encourages me. That's preaching. She's preaching to me. And I love it. It's uplifting to me. There's a song that was written back in the 80s. Don't know what year. I'm going to say early 80s. By John Mellencamp. It's called Jack and Diane. One of the lines in that song is, it says, life goes on long after the thrill of living life is gone. Now, I don't know how many of you remember that song, but I was thinking about that. And our tendency today, in our world today, is that we try to live as others suggest we need to live. You know, we've got something here that tells us how we should live, but then we've got a TV that's on 24 hours a day telling us how they think we should live. And they try to tell us that you've got this problem or you've got that problem. Or if you're going to live life, you know, you need to go jump out of an airplane. Or you need to go paragliding or bungee jumping. Now, I'm going to confess, I have gone bungee jumping. Feet first, or head first, you know. I have gone paragliding. You know, I told Melba the other day, I was thinking about it. You know, I've said for years, when I started flying for business, you know, it really bothered me, you know, many years ago. And now I can be asleep when the plane takes off. You know, it just doesn't bother me anymore. But I said, people are crazy that want to jump out of an airplane. A perfectly good airplane. And then last May, I jumped off an 11,000-foot mountain that was perfectly good and went paragliding. So, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know, I enjoyed it. And, you know, is that living life? Is living life having lots of toys or fast cars? And I know Jason watching, you know, he tells me about that. He's got his eyeball on me. Yeah, I have a vet that runs really fast, and I get up to the speed limit really fast, but that's as fast as I go. It's enjoyable. Traveling around the world, is that living life? You know, the rich and famous, they think living life is being able to do all of these things, having whatever you want in life. They believe that's what living life is. Well, you know, if we look at what the Scriptures say about living life, a few of them. Let's look at Timothy again. That's what Paul's saying here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, starting in 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who give us richly all things to enjoy. They that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And then in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. So the question I've got is, what are you worshiping or what are you seeking in this life? You know, in a devotional that I had several months ago, I don't remember, one thing I used in it is, it's a quote, and I don't remember where it came from, but I see books and other things on it. It says, we become what we worship. What are you worshiping? You know, if I'm worshiping my car, which, you know, I like my yellow Corvette, but it's just a car. I feel very blessed in my life to be able to have the opportunity to buy something that I've wanted all my life. But, you know, from a kid, I always wanted a Corvette. I enjoyed that Corvette, and Melba might tell you I do worship it, but I really don't. Because, you know, I don't get it out in the rain. She says, it's just rain, it won't hurt it. And I said, you don't drive a vet in the rain. You just don't do that if you don't have to. Because then you got to come home and clean it up right away and put it back in the garage. But I don't worship that car. I will tell you, I love to drive it. But it's just a car. But if I worship that car, you know, where are my priorities at? That's not what life is about. You know, I was thinking about, well, let's look through the Bible here and see what are some of the thrills that the characters, people who lived in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know, what are some of the thrills they had? And I was going to talk about that. You know, I thought, man, there's a bunch of them out there like Moses. I'm going to tell you, Moses had some action in his life. Can you imagine parting the Red Sea and looking there and seeing that wall of water up there, or the burning bush, or going up in the mountain to get the Ten Commandments? That's some thrills right there. What about Daniel? You know, they threw him down in the lion's den for some snack food. That's pretty thrilling if you want some thrills. Peter, walking on water. Man, that's a high right there. And then I decided, well, I'm not going to go that way. This is where I kind of got lost, Mitch. I started having thoughts about where am I going to go here. So what I decided to do was to look at some of the actions or the encouragement in the Scriptures that we see on how we should be living life properly here on earth so that we can have eternal life. And the first thing I think that we begin with is to look at Proverbs. The first chapter of Proverbs, verse 7, which I think we just mentioned here in the past week. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So where am I going to go to figure out how to live in this world? I'm going to go to the Bible. I'm going to go to God's Word. He's got some wisdom there for me. He's got some rules I need to live by. I mentioned a while ago David, who's one of my favorites from the Bible. In Psalms 138 and 3, in the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. And in verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. My God will take care of me, but I have to trust in Him. I have to look to Him. So, looking at the New Testament, let's look at some things that Jesus had to say to begin with. Looking in Matthew 6 and 33, we all know this one, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what was he talking about there? He just talked about the lilies of the field, for instance. You know, look at how they're clothed in their glory. Don't worry. Don't have that anxiety. I'm going to take care of you if you put your faith in me. And this is Jesus continuing, Matthew 10 and 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You've got to follow after Christ. In Luke, we find Jesus again talking about the fruit tree. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit, nor doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And in John 13, 34, 35, a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. And I won't read all of that. We're familiar with that. And then again in John 15, starting at verse 10, if you keep my commandments, if you abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments, and he tells us to love one another as I have loved you. And then look at Paul in Romans 8 and 28. And he says that, and we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And then Paul to the Ephesians tells us to walk as children of light, not in darkness as we were in past times, but to look. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then we're not to have fellowship with darkness. And Paul to Timothy, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And then finally to Paul again to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verses 15 through 16. Be diligent to prove yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they increase to more ungodliness. You know, we're programmed, and I had something else, and I can't believe how fast time goes by. Had something else I wanted to talk about being created in the image of God. But, you know, we're programmed to want to seek a higher spirit, our higher being. It's in us. We all long for it. Some people find it in drugs, you know, or worship other things in the world, but they're seeking for something. We're all seeking for something higher than we are. We know that for some reason it's in us that there's something higher than us. We know that. So we seek for that. And I guess what I want to ask today is, you know, as you look at how you live your life now, are you encouraging when you're out preaching every day? And as I said, everyone in here is a preacher. whether you think you are or not, you're a preacher. Are you encouraging? Are you seeking to save the lost? Are you living by God's standards? You know, Mitch, a couple of years ago, or time goes so fast it could have been 7 years ago, I don't remember, but I remember he had a closing one night that he used about, you know, what do you have to lose by being a Christian? You know, if you live a good life on this earth and you love your neighbors, you do the things, you're encouraging to people, and you do all these good things and life goes on, and you go out of this life with your boots on, and you know there wasn't anything, it was all a big hoax. So what? You lived a good life here on this earth and took care of people, what's wrong with that? Now, on the other hand, you can decide today that, well, it's a big hoax. You know, there is no eternal life, so I'm going to do all the things that we're not supposed to do in this life. And I'm not worried about eternal life. Well, what do you have to lose if it just so happens to be that it's not a big hoax? And we know it's not. We know that God was real. We know that Jesus is real. And He promised us eternal life. This isn't a joke. It's real. What do you got to lose? You got your soul to lose. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is what? It says it's death. It's death, eternal darkness. Melba got an email from Dan Cook, and some of you may have been on it. I didn't look at it. But Dan Cook sent this email, and it had it had some great pictures in it, which was really beautiful. But in it had a sign, an electronic sign down in Texas somewhere, I think. This big electronic sign up in front of a church, and it had messages flashing on it from God. And there was probably 15 or 20 of them before it started repeating itself. And one of the messages from God says, have you read my bestseller? There will be a test. There will be a test, people. The day is coming when we're going to have to answer. And if you haven't read that number one bestseller and done what it's laid out for us to do, you're going to fail that test. And that doesn't mean that you get to try again. God doesn't grade on a curve. You know, well, he was pretty good, so I'm going to go ahead and pass him. No. God says, here's the grade. Do you know the answers? So today, what I'm going to ask now is, you know, have you thought about how you're living your life? Are you preaching every day like you want to be preaching in your life? And if you're not, have you taking the test, and have you answered the questions? You know, we're supposed to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. I'm running out of time, so I won't read those scriptures. Most of us know them. But what does it say if we look at Romans 6, 3 and 4? When we talk about baptism, it says, therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism unto death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so what? So we might also walk in the newness of life. Are you walking in the newness of life today? If you're not, you need to change that. At this time, if you need prayers of the church or you need to come and make that confession, we would offer that opportunity.